21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. Now more of 21st Century Radio with your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are the fundamental truths upon which our nation was founded, and they are illustrated by the new exhibit at the world-renowned American Visionary Arts Museum on Key Highway in Baltimore. Dare I say it, it's their best ever. Get over there the next free weekend you have and take all of your out-of-town visitors to AVAM to show it off. While there, do me a favor and stop by their incredible gift shop called Sideshow and buy one of my books that are on special sale at Sideshow in honor of their Life, Liberty, and Pursuit of Happiness exhibit. Call 443-872-4926. That's 443-872-4926 or on the web at AVAM.org.
I'm on a mission for the King. He told me to smile, and he told me to sing, and I can't.
That's good old Slim and the Supreme Angels. Yes, I know. I know you probably never heard of them, but I almost grew up with those guys. This is 21st Century Radio. I'm the alleged Dr. Bob Hieronymus, a lowly PhD. As everyone knows, PhDs don't make too much money. You pay a couple $100,000 over a period of 5 years, and you're still in the hole, right? Well, that's the way it goes. That's karma, I guess. And, of course, our executive producer and research assistant is Laura Kortner. Our engineer is Jake Bryant. I wonder what he wants for Christmas. We're going to find that out. Our guest for the next 20-some minutes is William Henry, Freedom's Gate, The Lost Symbols in the U.S. Capitol with Dr. Mark Gray. It's published by Scala Day. Available at williamhenry.net or by clicking the link on the front page of 21stcenturyradio.com. Let me make an offer here, friends. And here it is. Buy a copy of this book or a couple of copies of this book. But when you do, if you can prove it to me with your receipt, as we've done with hundreds of other people or hundreds of other books over the past 20-some years on this show, if you buy a copy of that book, I will give you a free copy of any one of my books. Okay? That's the deal. All you got to do is prove to me with a receipt that you have purchased this book. That's how important I think this is. Now, William, we have talked about the dome and we've talked about the inner circle of the dome, but I think perhaps most importantly to me is the being that is atop the dome, the Statue of Freedom. Could you please tell us about this being?
Yes, as you mentioned, her name is Freedom. She was sculpted by Thomas Crawford, who was an American sculptor living in Rome. Sculpted originally, the model was made in 1857, and then when finally the dome of the U.S. Capitol was completed in 1863, the scaffold was removed, and soon Freedom was mounted on top of the dome. She's an extraordinary being. She also appears in the apotheosis, by the way. And what we noticed in the book is that Freedom is attired in a very extraordinary getup, if you will. One of the most noticeable things, of course, is that she wears the flowing toga that's gathered at her waist. There's a brooch or a brooch that's inscribed U.S. She wears high lace sandals. But to me, the most important thing, or both most important symbol that she wears, is a crown of stars, which was actually when Jefferson Davis, who was the Secretary of War at the time, when he wrote to Crawford, who originally wanted to put a freedom cap on top of Freedom's head, Jeff Davis wrote to him and said that, let's put a crown of stars on there because it would be, as he said, expressive of endless existence and of heavenly birth. Mm-hmm. And what that tells me is that Freedom is a heavenly being. freedom is a heavenly concept. And when we look in the apotheosis, we see her as she is on top of the Capitol, crowned with stars. She holds in the apotheosis her sword of God, her shield of God. She wears her breastplate of righteousness. And if we could see her feet in the apotheosis, I bet she also wears the sandals of peace. These are all of the garments or accoutrements worn by the spiritual warriors described in the book of Ephesians. And it tells me, once again, that in the apotheosis, and in fact, the dome of the Capitol itself, is being protected by a spiritual being, that there is perhaps a spiritual battle that is being fought, and we must learn to become spiritual warriors in this battle to ensure victory.
The thing that I find most fascinating is the back of her headdress. Could you describe what's there?
Are you describing the eagle's head?
Yeah.
It looks as if Freedom's head is almost if it's the eagle almost morphs from Freedom's head. She wears this tight-fitting skull cap, and then you have the eagle, and now there's controversy about the type of feathers that actually extend from the eagle. Are they eagle feathers, or are they, in fact, ostrich feathers? It's a very important distinction, because if they're in fact ostrich feathers, this takes us back to the great Egyptian goddess of divine order whose name was Maat, who is in fact the model for American justice, the goddess justice in America. So there's controversy about that. If it's eagle-headed, then that's another very interesting connection, because the great Anunnaki gods of ancient Sumeria were portrayed as eagle-headed beings.
Mm-hmm.
And you just wonder if there's an intentional connection being made. There's certainly a connection being made to the ancient world. It's just uncertain to me if that's either Sumeria or Egypt.
Well, there's always multiple levels, so I think it's possible that it could be all of these things. And still be in harmony with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about symbols. But once again, you have about 750 photos of her. Again, friends, I mean, you see detailed photos, and then you see details of the details. Now, that's the way a book really should be done when you're visualizing this, because two or three photographs ain't going to do it. Now, I could never convince my publisher to give me this many photographs, because they would basically say, well, what do you need all this stuff for? And because, you know, you're writing a book, you're not doing an art gallery, but, but in, I believe visually, the visual message can tell you a lot more many times than just the words. Now, so we've got the inner circle, we've got the Statue of Freedom atop the dome, and she's facing east to watch the rising sun, and of course, there was some controversy over that, saying she's looking the wrong way. Well, she wasn't looking the wrong way. But then there are surrounding the outer circle around. I'm holding this up to the microphone now. So we have some very advanced listeners out there who've been with us for 20-some years. And so we're going to show them the whole dome. Here it is. Let me lift this up here. Now, that outer circle around the very edges of the dome, what's going on around there?
Are you talking about the apotheosis inside? Or?
I'm sorry, I did not. Yes, I'm talking about inside the apotheosis mural.
And so you're talking about you're talking about Mercury and Hephaestus and Ceres and Freedom.
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about.
And Athena, and then also Poseidon.
Yep.
As I mentioned, these are all of the pagan gods that the Vatican had attempted to get rid of for the past 1,600 years. And here is Brumidi coming into the Capitol, I'm presuming, with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. And he knows something. He has been in the Vatican. He's been studying Raphael. He's been studying Michelangelo, both of whom were privy to this sudden revelation of these ancient Greek works and Egyptian works on alchemy that had recently been translated. And I think he's just looking for a place to ultimately use that knowledge, and the place he's going to do that is ultimately the dome of the U.S. Capitol. And so what we started noticing is that first we began with the recognition that those five gods are arranged in the pattern of a pentacle.
Yeah.
That could not be by coincidence. it seems that what Brumidi is telling us is that he understands that the pentacle is the symbol of human transformation, and that what he is saying here is that he knows that the ultimate way for humans to transform or to ascend to the level of the God beings is to, in the model of Da Vinci's Vitruvian Man, is to harmonize ourselves with those elements of earth, air, fire, water, and quintessence or space-time. And in fact, that is exactly what those five gods represent, are precisely the five elements of alchemy. And to take it one step further, he arranges them in the pattern of a pentacle. But that's just one level of reveal that Brumidi has encoded within this painting, because, in fact, there's not just the five figures that surround Washington, the five gods of alchemy, but there's also that sixth figure, which is freedom. Freedom, again, attired in the garments addressed in the Book of Officiants. And so what I did is I just started looking at that and saying, well, wait a minute. Is there another possible influence on Brumidi at that time? Is there another Italian mastermind or genius that Brumidi might have had access to as a sort of a database? And it turns out there was. There was a brilliant 13th century Italian mathematician known as Leonardo Pisano, who's better known as Fibonacci. And it was Fibonacci who had discovered something he called Metatron's cube.
Ah.
He had played with the five Platonic solids, the perfect or Platonic solids, the five shapes that are named after Plato, who, writing in his Timaeus, states that each of the perfect solids is related to one of these elements of alchemy, earth, air, fire, water, and life force. And through this process, Fibonacci discovers this shape or this sacred geometry symbol called Metatron's cube. And so I just superimposed Metatron's cube over the apotheosis, and what do you know? It was a perfect fit.
It is a perfect fit. Again, I'm holding this up to the microphone. Our listeners out there can see it for themselves. They don't have to believe you. It's right there in black and ink, as they used to say back in the old days. And I think this is a very important discovery because, well, first let's touch a little bit. I know we're running out of time here, but we need to touch a little bit on alchemy and then return to this chemical code that's concealed within the apotheosis. What is alchemy?
Alchemy is the process of transformation. The idea is this, that everything is alive. Everything is energy, and it's possible for one thing to transform or transmute into another. Ideas can become things. Lead can become gold. Humans can become angels or ascended beings. That's the general idea. And that is the belief that is encoded within the apotheosis. I call it the greatest alchemical icon ever, because literally encoded within it are these ideas, these alchemical ideas of how we transform, or the biblical term is transfigure ourselves, or metamorphose, another biblical term, into light beings or angelic beings and achieve this true freedom.
Well, that is the key, self-transformation.
And I wanted to mention something too, Dr. Bob, and that is, you said that this is historical, and that is actually true. I mean, we consulted with Dr. Barbara Walnan, the curator of the United States Capitol, the architect of the Capitol's office, throughout the writing of the book. And we were showing her these things, and she just simply said, we've never seen any of this before. And she, in fact, I said that this book is historical, that they won't be able to look at the Capitol the same way.
That's right.
And in fact, the guides are starting to incorporate some of this material in their tours of the Capitol, which is something we're extremely proud of.
Well, of course you should be. My heavens. I mean, here's something that's, we're talking about something so many, well over 100 years old, and it is one of those perfect. I was just so surprised that how in the world could I find Dan Brown? How could I forget his name? Dan Brown didn't make more of this. within his own work, even though, of course, it is mentioned. But this is extraordinary stuff. He should have had a copy of this book in front of him. Well, I guess you weren't finished it then. I think he would have found it very, very helpful.
I would love to talk with Dan Brown about it. In fact, let's get together with Dan at the Capitol sometime and take a tour.
Yeah, let's do that. It only take us 4 years to get through to him. Yeah, because everyone in the world is trying to get through to him at this time, and for good reason. I mean, you know, we know what he has accomplished is more or less it's a novel. Most people would like to think that this is everything he's saying is factual, but it's a novel. But it's based on a lot of extremely important information, especially the divine feminine, which I find to be and you as well find to be extremely important. So, Metatron's cube. Yeah, there's a very important statement you make on page 206, and I know you could probably quote it in your sleep. And that is, Metatron's cube, how does staring into it provoke a shift in consciousness?
Well, the idea is that certain paintings, they're called icons, carry the energy or the emotion of divinity. And the idea is that if you can get into a meditative state that and connect with the painting mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, that your body can then begin to mirror the feelings of the individual in that painting.
Like as above, so below.
Like as above, so below. As within, so without. And that, we feel, is what Brumidi was invoking in this painting. He was going back and utilizing the power of the icon and the understanding that that divine energy can be tapped through a painting. There's some very good science about this, about how, especially in the Eastern Orthodox Church, how they venerated icons literally as doorways or gateways into the divine realm. They literally consider them to be visual gospels in themselves of equal importance to the written word. And it's because of the emotional connection that we can make to such paintings. And that's exactly what we feel is going on in here in the apotheosis, that by meditating on this, that the geometry, since our bodies themselves, we're just standing waves, we're energy in motion, and the software of our body is essentially sacred geometry, that our body connects with the geometry of the painting, and it begins to have an effect on us. And then when we put together the sort of the left brain understanding of who the figures are in the painting, who these gods are, and what they represent, suddenly what we have here is this incredible encoded work inside the dome of the U.S. Capitol. As you mentioned, it's as if there's been like a metaphysical time lock on this painting since 1865, when it was completed, awaiting a time today when the revelation of its secrets would begin to unfold. And I'm not saying we have all of them. I'm saying this is the beginning of what we've discovered, and we've been so excited to present it to you and to other researchers to say, look at what's here. What else might be here?
Do you think that the Metatron's cube is in any way linked to the Philosopher's Stone?
I think absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. In fact, some sacred geometers believe that the Philosopher's Stone is found within the five primordial shapes of the Platonic solids, eventually culminating in Metatron's cube. Metatron, of course, it's important to recognize that Metatron is an angel, an archangel, but he was originally a human. His name was Enoch, and he was a great quester. He lived in the ancient world, even in the pre-flood world, we're told, and he sought out ancient knowledge and ancient lore, and he was given an invitation to ascend into the heavenly realms and came back to earth for a time, delivered sacred knowledge, then returned to heaven, where he became a guide to humankind. And I think that literally Metatron's cube is that guide. It is the gateway to heaven, and it is superimposed over the apotheosis of George Washington, because I believe that originally in Brumidi's mind it was probably the underlying geometry upon which he crafted this amazing painting.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, especially in regards to Bermudi. He had to hide certain things. I mean, you know, he, as you noted, he was threatened with 18 years in prison. He was one of those individuals that believed in separation of church and state. He wanted to worship the way he wanted to worship, the same way Thomas Jefferson did.
That's right.
I mean, you know, Jefferson laid the foundation for separation of church and state first in his, in Virginia, and then, fortunately, in the United States, and that gave us our freedom. So, so this. You note that the primordial revelation, the perennial philosophy, the philosopher's stone are all interchangeable for supernatural divine wisdom.
That's right. And that wisdom is in the dome of the United States Capitol.
And it's
Think about that.
Yeah, and it's also inside us.
That's right.
As above, so below. And that's one of the reasons why I believe this is an extremely important book, because visually it shows it. Verbally, it is able to describe it, and of course, you've been working on this thing for decades, haven't you?
Yeah, truly.
Yeah, I mean, decades. This is not something you just thought of because Dan Brown all of a sudden came around the corner, and you know, said, "Well, I can write a book here. It's going to be popular." But I mean, you've been it takes decades actually to see all of these things. Congratulations, William.
Thank you so much, Bob. For you, that means just everything.
Well, I'll tell you, one of these days we are going to get together and have a damn good time in Washington, D.C. There's no better place to have a good time in, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
Than in Washington, D.C. And thank you for enlightening our planet and for making sure that you stayed with this, because, you know, it must have been very costly to do this. It is not, people don't come out with $10,000 scholarships for you to hang out at Washington, D.C. very often, do they?
No, you're right.
Somehow you got to put it all together yourself. But then again, it's all yours.
Yeah, and there's nothing I'd rather be doing than this either. Yeah. I mean, it's so exciting to be a part of this. And once again, thank you for all of your work over these years, because Newton said, when you're standing on the shoulders of giants, it's easy. And so you're one of those giants to me, and I really appreciate your input.
We can reverse that, you know. All of us have been working so hard at this, because I do believe, and this is, friends, this is not something that William and I have ever discussed, and that is this. I believe, I've known him before, I've known many of these other authors that we have worked together in different levels, for different things, especially in regards to this country. And I don't believe that this the reason why I'm doing a radio show is accidental. And maybe you were doing a radio show another lifetime when I was on your show. And you know, because I think that's what has been really going on for many of us who want to see our nation really take its place on the planet and freeing the planet, and that, from the standpoint of especially religious freedom, because if we don't have that, we don't have too much.
I agree.
So thank you for joining us, William. Freedom's Gate, the Lost Symbols in the United States Capitol, with Dr. Mark Gray. Say hello to Dr. Mark for us, please. Available at williamhenry.net or by clicking the link on the front page of 21st Century Radio. And when we return, Andy Rubin will be joining us. Cyclops Books and Music in Baltimore. Books, live music, and art gallery, and Twisting the Night Away. If you're a business owner or executive seeking growth yet determined to cut wasteful costs, consider outsourcing your whole marketing department to The Selling Well. The Selling Well offers businesses truly superior marketing services without all the overhead costs associated with employing a full-time marketing executive. Learn more online at thesellingwell.com. That's thesellingwell.com, named after one of our greatest symbols of prosperity, the well. Visit thesellingwell.com or call The Selling Well's managing partner, Plato Hieronymus, at 443-939-1890, theSellingWell.com. American history has been characterized by single moments that have defined movements. Now, with only 10% of blind children learning Braille in school, the time for a new defining moment is upon us. Join the NFB for a very special moment in the Braille literacy movement as we launch the 2009 Lewis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar. Funds from the sale of the coin go to the National Federation of the Blind to develop and implement effective programs to increase Braille literacy among blind children and adults. For more information, visit www.braille.org. www.braille.org.
Hi, this is Paul Grishkin, rock and roll historian. You're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus. Yeah. Let's go rocking down the highway.
Yeah, I'll say we did a lot of rocking down the highway with Paul. Oh, gosh, what days. What days they were, friends. Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. I'm the alleged Dr. Bob Hieronymus, a lowly PhD. Of course, our executive producer and research assistant, Laura Courtner, with our engineer being Jake Bryant. We thought you ought to know those things. Our next guest is someone we met through Greg Wilhelm. He's legendary in himself. And our friends at the City Lit Stage during the annual Baltimore Book Festival, almost every year. For the past several years, either my wife Sahara or I have had a new book published. And we've been honored to appear on City Lit Stage during the Baltimore Book Festival to speak about them and sign some copies. Retail partner to the City Lit Stage has always been Cyclops Books and Music, and they handle orders and book sales for the weekend with a booth adjacent to City Lit Stage. Some of the books I bought from them, especially I like the books on birds. We got a great book on birds in which I learned to sing all the same songs that they did. That's, you know, not the Orioles. We're not talking about, you know, little birds that fly. Now, that is where I first met, by the way, Andy Rubin, the president of Cyclops Books and Music, who is joining us for the remainder of this hour to tell us more about his special bookstore and coffee house. We were reminded about Cyclops Books and Music last month during the opening of my art show, still on exhibit at the Wind Up Space, which is practically next door to Cyclops, because they cater to the eclectic, just like Hieronymus and Company. We arranged for Cyclops to carry a limited supply of collector's edition booklets describing in detail the 30 pieces in the Wind Up Space show, which serves as a retrospective of the past 40 years of my symbolic artwork, emphasizing a patriotic mysticism and the message of we are one people on one planet. So, just for that reason alone, I would recommend you visit Cyclops Books and Music on the corner of North and Maryland Avenues, or Merlin Avenues, I guess I mispronounced that, in the up-and-coming Station North District, and buy a copy of the Collector's Edition Hieronymus Artwork Catalog, 56 pages full color. That's 30 West North Avenue, County Corner, from Joe Squared. Call 410-752-4487. Andy Rubin is president of Cyclops Books and Music, and as you will hear, there are a lot of other reasons besides my art booklet you should visit Cyclops Books and Music in the near future. Welcome to 21st Century Radio, Andy.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Bob?
Well, my pitching arm's pretty damn good this year.
That's good.
How about you? My
pitching arm is pretty good, too.
Your curveball, what about that?
It's pretty good. I have a good breaking pitch. My slider is not bad. My knuckleball might need a little bit of work.
Well, my slider's gone to hell, so I'm just about giving up on that. Now, thank you for taking the time to join us tonight, as I understand you have a full lineup of entertainment going on in your shop tonight. What's going on at Cyclops Books and Music this Sunday evening?
Well, we have a band called Human Host that's about ready to take the stage. We do live music all the time here. You know, pretty much almost every night we have something going on. We played Scrabble at 4 o'clock today. We have music tonight. Some nights we have poetry and open mics. I bring in a lot of traveling musicians from around the world, Grammy, Americana, Tony, and Juno Award winners and nominees, along with the best of local and regional music as well. So there's something going on almost every night here.
I understand the Human Host has released a number of CDs and contributed to tracks to several various artist compilations. Tell us a little bit more about those guys.
Well, this is their album release party tonight, and this is, I think, their fourth album, and they're pretty great. I came outside to sit in the car for a second to talk to you while they did their thing, so I think they're just about ready to go on. If anybody wants to come out, you know, is not too far away, wants to come check them out.
And I notice you have a weekly Sunday event called Scrabble Sundays, and that closed down at 4 o'clock today. Is that right?
Yeah, we every Sunday around 4 o'clock, 4:35, we got our Scrabble board out. It's actually out all during the week if anybody wants to come play during the week, too. But every Sunday we have a game, and people stop by and play, and it's just a great thing to do on a Sunday afternoon, if you're not into the Ravens or anything like that, or football, or even if you are, you know, they don't play till tomorrow. So it's a regular game, and it's a lot of fun.
So World Championship Scrabble is played down
there.
That's
right.
World Championship. Oh, my gosh. Where do you rank in the World Championships of Scrabble?
I do okay. I got a seven-letter word today with a 50-point bonus. And
holy cow.
All the time, And that was okay. So we have a lot of good players, and we're not too serious. Although serious people are welcome to show up too, and it's just a lot of fun.
So obviously,
come out sometime, join us.
I will. So obviously,
Hieronymus would score a lot of points there.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm ranked 15,957th in the Scrabble World Championships. So that's not too bad.
No. That's pretty good. You can teach us a few things.
Right. So obviously, Cyclops Books and Music is much more than just a bookstore, but you do sell books too, right?
We do. We do, in fact, sell books. We're the only general independent seller of like new books in downtown Midtown area.
And, what does that mean? An independent bookstore?
Well, we are independent. We are not. We're not a chain store. We are not. We're not selling books down the river on the internet. We are. We're locally based. We're Baltimore based. We're proud of it. We don't have people in corporate offices in Michigan or New York or New Jersey or wherever telling people in Baltimore what to read.
Yeah, but you do. You do have some of those bookstores in Hawaii, though, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's a hell of a place.
We just like to present the best of local, regional, and national books in our store. But you know, it's Baltimore. You know, a Baltimore store.
Do you have any special selection of art books?
We have a ton of art books. Art. I had a old bookstore downtown called Baltimore Chop.
Oh yeah.
Which was definitely focused on something you and I love, baseball, and mm-hmm. You know, we had many, many baseball books, and we still have them here at Cyclops. They're just not as front and center now that we're in the Station North Arts District. So here we have, you know, a much bigger focus on art books. We have, you know, my father was a photographer, and so we have a huge photography section as well as a gallery that the first two shows have been photography. Painting, graphic design, architecture, you name it, just all forms of art, because that's, you know, a lot of our people here at Station North are artists and writers, and love to browse those kind of books.
Well, you know, I had a question about that. Now, we are big fans of people who make the effort to support their brick-and-mortar bookstores and locally owned ones, especially independent ones. If one of our listeners wanted to support you because you are local and independent, but they didn't want to waste a trip to find out if you have a certain book in stock, how could they contact you first to ask you if they can order it from you or if it's available?
Well, I'm always happy to take phone calls. So you can call us. It's 410-752-4487. That's my cell phone number, so you can call me day or night and ask
Holy
me if
cow.
We have a title, and I'm happy to order it if we don't already have it. You can send us an email, Andy@cyclopsbooks.com, We're on Facebook, so facebook.com/CyclopsBmore. And those are the best ways to find us. But you can always just, like I said, give me a call or an email.
That's right. We can call you 4 a.m. in the morning at
410. That's fine. I'm frequently at work at that time, so that's fine.
Oh, you call 410-752-2487. Remember that, friends.
Yeah, 4487, which in the old bookstore stands for HITS. So 752 HITS, actually, from the old baseball bookstore.
Really?
Oh,
I,
really?
Yeah, okay. All right, I can understand that, being a lowly PhD. Now, what led you to open this bookstore, Music and Coffee House, Andy?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Yeah, what led you to open this bookstore, Music and Coffee House?
Well, it's kind of the family business. My father had bookstores in New York City for many years. Coliseum Books is the most famous one. It was on 57th Street and Broadway.
Wow.
For almost 30 years, and it closed in 2002, reopened briefly by the New York Public Library, and closed again. But it was you know, New York's best local, you know, seller of new independent books, you know, from the mid-70s until 2000, you know, early 2000s. You know, so it's been in my genetic structure for a long time. We had a chain called Bookmasters even before that. And I knew someday I would have a bookstore of my own.
How lovely. How lovely. Boy, that I would have loved to have had a parent that was involved with books. I really would have. Oh, we got to take our final break of the hour here. We'll be back with our guest, Andy Rubin, owner of Cyclops Books and Music in Baltimore, in the up-and-coming Station North Development, or District, that is, books, live music, art gallery, and more at the corner of North and Maryland Avenues. And don't forget, every Sunday afternoon is World Championship Scrabble. I'm going to go down there and I'll show them how to play that Scrabble. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Radio 680 WCBM.
Next week on 21st Century Radio, Maryland curiosities, quirky characters, roadside oddities, and other offbeat stuff. Plus, the Beatles' Yellow Submarine, from an original artist to the upcoming remake by Walt Disney. Sunday night at 8, 21st Century Radio, Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Have you bought a copy of Dan Brown's The Lost Symbol yet? It's a must-read for all listeners to 21st Century Radio. Not only does the plot involve all the latest discoveries and consciousness research we've been reporting on for the past 21 years, but, of course, it also relies heavily on the research in my two most recent books, Founding Fathers, Secret Societies, and The United Symbolism of America. As a matter of fact, right now, my book is being displayed right next to Dan Brown's The Lost Symbol in all Barnes & Noble and Borders across the country. They are selling so well that we are going into new printings. Please support your local bookstores and go buy your copies of my books and Dan Brown's new blockbuster from the brick and mortar stores.
Hi, this is Dr. Bernie Siegel, author of Love, Medicine, and Miracles, and recently a book on parenting, Love, Magic, and Mud Pies. And you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Bob Hieronymus.
I used to be one of the champion mud pie makers on Green Mound Avenue. Yeah, we used to dig into old Oriole Ballpark's hills, and we'd come out with yellow clay, green clay, blue clay, red clay. Me and my friends hanging out there, old Oriole Ballpark. Our guest is Andy Rubin, owner of Cyclops Books and Music in Baltimore, in the up-and-coming Station North District. Books, live music, art gallery, and more at the corner of North and Maryland Avenues. Check out the upcoming events at Cyclops Books and Music at facebook.com/CyclopsBmore. That is facebook.com/CyclopsBmore. No, that's, I'll better spell BMore. The letter B, more, right? No B-E, but BMore. Or click the link on the front page of 21stCenturyRadio.com. I guess I should have said that. It's a lot easier. You still with us there, Andy?
Yes, I am. I wish I'd gotten to go to the old Memorial Stadium, too, before it was torn down.
Well, no, I was talking about Old Oriole Ballpark, 2930 Greenmount Avenue. That's where I used to live.
The old one.
Where Babe Ruth played.
Yes, that one.
Wow, what a place. But honestly, we used to dig into those hills along there and come up with all these clay, all these different colored clays. And almost all my friends were African American in those days. So every time we'd carry all this dirt and clay at home, I ended up getting thrown out most of the time. Well, Andy, what were you doing before you opened Cyclops?
Well, before I opened Cyclops, I do a lot of things. I had Baltimore Chop, the bookstore downtown, Baltimore Glassworks, which is a glass blowing studio. We make glass art. And then I also have a record label, 31 Tigers Nashville, Baltimore, which is a label that we have that puts out music. So I did those things. I also, the reason I came to Baltimore in the first place was to work for WBAL TV. So before that, I lived in Oklahoma City. Those are some of the things I did.
The 31 Tigers Records, that's in Nashville, Baltimore. Tell us a little bit about that, because I'm fascinated by that.
Well, it's a record label. We it's not beholden to any one kind of music, although our first album is Elizabeth Cook, called Balls. It's old school country. It's produced by the Grammy winner Rodney Crowell, and it came out 3 years ago and got critically acclaimed across the country. Rolling Stone, NPR, CBS, Washington Post all named it one of the best albums of the year. We're getting ready. Elizabeth was just in the studio with Don Was, who's a multiple Grammy winner, who's produced the Rolling Stones and Iggy Pop and Bonnie Raitt and Willie Nelson, Chris Christopherson, the list goes on and on. Dylan, he's producing our next album, which will be out in the spring. So it's going to be an unbelievable record. In between that, our second album was the Janet Reno Song of America project, which is a 3-CD, 50-track compilation telling the history of America through song. So starts off with Lakota tribal song and goes up to Say Aloud, I'm Black and I'm Proud in the Streets of Philadelphia, which is a Betty LeVette cover, the Bruce Springsteen song that blows the boss out of the water on his own track. And we got Blind Boys Alabama on there, Devendra Banhart, Black Crowes, Susie Boggess, Jen Chapin, just a bunch of amazing musicians, all of whom donated their tracks for music education.
Boy, that is really extraordinary.
Andy. It's been ongoing, yeah. We have Judith Adelman's an indie singer-songwriter. That's our third album, and we're going to keep on going.
Well, I see you have a few other weekly recurring events at Cyclops Books and Music, which I'd like to cover before we look at your calendar of upcoming special performances in December. Tell us about the Bluegrass Jam Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Well, every Wednesday, people can come. It's not just bluegrass, it's also open mic, so people can come play songs or do their poetry, or we had somebody come and tap dance one time for us. But
that's wonderful.
Pretty much in open mic, and you can come bring whatever it is your talent is. So we do that every Wednesday, and then follow that with any kind of event that we might have on a given Wednesday, whether it's music or something else.
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the old village back there in the 60s, the mid-60s, when you could go from one, I was a singer then, and we'd go from one place to the next and just sing. The only thing we get paid with was beer. So after about 20 or 30 beers, you really have some interesting evenings there in the village. That's what that reminds me of. What happens on open mic Wednesdays at 8 p.m.?
Well, that's what I was talking about. You can come do whatever you want. We have some of the best writers in town come and read their work, sometimes poetry or short stories or whatever, which, I should tell you about on Thursday night. This coming Thursday at 7, we'll have the zine release party for Smile Hunter in Baltimore, which is one of the best local zines out there. It's got amazing, amazing local writers who write stories about Baltimore stories. So in addition to that, we'll have a band doing 80s covers bluegrass style. So it'll be a great night of music and readings and poetry. And if anybody's around, you should come out on Thursday night at 7 for that.
Station North on Second Saturdays. What happens then?
Well, that's the Second Saturdays in Station North have been really great, you know, all through the summer and into you know, this month. Many of the venues offer free events. So we've had, you know, music on all these Second Saturday nights, and then we also have a brand-new gallery opening, which features photography by Peter Schaefer, just opened a couple of days ago. We have other photography by Kayla Marie Land. And so basically the Second Saturdays thing are our way to get people to come visit and go from place to place, like you were talking about in the village, and go see what's going on at Wind Up Space, and go see what's going on at Joe Squared, and what's going on at Hexagon and Load of Fun and Metro Gallery and all the cool things we have, the Strand Theater and Single Carrot Theater, just, you know, basically to come spend the day and night here in Station North.
Well, it's a great place. That whole area is, you know, it used to be my neighborhood. So back in the old days, one never left or went outside after it got dark, because in those days, 40-some years ago, the rats were bigger than the cats. And they were so big that, you know, we used to get cats and we'd say, well, they're going to scare the rat. But it was just the reverse. So cats got so, they just ran away.
I might have seen some rats bigger than cats, but those were in the New York City subways.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, now let's quickly look before we run out of time at your calendar of upcoming events. Monday, December the 7th, and that's tomorrow, the anniversary of Zahara and I, our wedding anniversary. Conversation.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. We're going to celebrate it all day, needless to say. Tell us what's going to happen down there with Grigsby Hubbard.
Well, we're going to have we're going to just talk to him about WPFW and what's going on and some current events thing. And what else do we have going on? Wednesday night we'll have a hula hoop making workshop with Regina Armenta.
That's hoop making and boot making. Is it boot
making
too?
Yes, she makes, well, boots to go with your hula hoop playing. So so if you're into hula hooping, you might want some cool boots to go with it. So,
yeah, I'll see. Yeah.
So you know, if you just, she'll teach you how to do it all, and you'll go home, you know, with a hula hoop for, you know, $40. Can't beat that.
Yeah, you can't. And $40 for shoes today won't even get you a pair of sandals. Now, Thursday, December the 10th is Smile Hanzine Release Party.
That's right. That's what I was just talking about before. It's a fantastic local zine, and you should check it out. There's been, speaking of rats, they had an issue one time called Infestation, which is just rat stories. It's phenomenal. It's one of our best sellers because everybody in Baltimore has got a rat story, from whether you live in Roland Park or an area that's not like Roland Park. Everybody's got a rat story, you know?
Yeah, well.
So this is a zine that's devoted to all the best Baltimore stories from some of Baltimore's best writers.
On December the 12th is Station North Second Saturdays, and that's going to be to be announced, I understand. But December 15th is called the S Peace Songwriting School.
Spies. Amy Spies is one of the country's great singer-songwriters. She's on Judy Collins' record label, which I'm sure most of your people know who Judy Collins is. Amy is lives in Nashville now. She just moved there from New York, and she's going to be in town. She's going to be opening for Nancy Griffith at the Birchmere, but the day before that, she's going to come to Cyclops to do songwriting school, and it's open to beginners as well as established performing veterans. So anybody can come. For $50, she'll spend 3 or 4 hours with you. Either create a new song or work on an existing song you've already been working on.
And with that, we have to say goodbye, unfortunately. Thank you for joining us, Andy Rubin, owner of Cyclops Books and Music in Baltimore in the up-and-coming Station North.
the most powerful names in talk.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM Baltimore and W.